Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bouchard.
Braden Holtby!
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point. And wherever you are in the DMV, that is the District of Columbia, State of Maryland, and the Commonwealth of Virginia, welcome once again to another week of Caps Hockey Talk. And to join me as always in this endeavor, she is the mermaid, but she's definitely not a fisherman's slave. Uh-huh. It is the beautiful, wonderful Anna Knox.
Happy Sunday, Gil. Happy freaking Sunday.
Happy Sunday. And how are things in Centerville?
Centerville's been good. It's good. Yesterday was quiet. There is nothing like having a Saturday of, you know, nothing to do except, you know, maybe go to lunch or something after a full moon. Because I'll tell you, this week was crazy.
I wish I had nothing to do on a Saturday, but go on.
Yes. So I was kind of a bum yesterday. And today was good. And we'll talk about later what I did over at the Dulles Expo. And that was it. But yeah, some good hockey to talk about this week.
Well, some of it was good.
I know. It wasn't a stellar week.
No, it was not. And that will be the meat and potatoes of this episode, which you will be hearing later on. I want to get one or two things out of the way first, though. So apparently this little experiment of mine with a puzzle within a contest within the show is not working because I couldn't get a response out of anybody. Couldn't draw money with a crayon, even if it were green. Couldn't get a guy who just came out of a Taco Bell to pass gas, however you want to say it. But we'll go over this last week's information. I said it was three Caps who shared the same origin, same place of origin. Those three Washington Capitals were current fourth liner winger Chandler Stephenson, who is from Saskatoon originally, current goalie Braden Holtby, who is from Lloydminster, and former forward Brooks Like, who is from a place called Wauwota. And all of these three places are located where? In the province of Saskatchewan. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Saskatchewan was your common leitmotif, your common theme from last week. But since nobody was interested in even placing a guess, we're going to scrap it. Thank you for not playing. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
It's because everybody was on my side when I said, is it Tommy in Toronto? And you immediately shot it down. And so they're like, you know what? Screw it. If it's not Tommy in Toronto and two other players from Toronto, I'm not going to play.
But that would have been too easy, though.
But I will give you this. Okay. I didn't know the answer to this, which is not surprising. I mean, come on now. But I will say that listening back at the show, it wasn't obvious. I think sometimes that's maybe what people need is like for you to be like, and the second player, or here are the three people I'm talking about, Brooks Like, Stephenson, and who's the other one?
Holtby.
And what do they all have in common? Then people can be like, oh, they're all Canadian, but narrow it down. But when you like, you know, throw their name out randomly in the middle of a conversation, I'm not thinking, oh, wait, that could be one of the guys. And so that's just.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Does that make sense? Like, I'm not saying it wasn't a great idea. And I'm not saying that we should just like toss a towel, but I think you should say, like, make it a challenge for the, you know, the people who love hockey as much as we do, but make it like, hey, here are three names. Tell me the things that they have in common. Tell me the one, what's the common theme? Like when they do on the radio, when they're like, you know, here's three songs and you're like, oh, it's all AC/DC, or it's, you know, it's like, thank God it's Friday, you know, whatever the theme is. And I think you would be very good at that.
All right. I hear you. And I think you got a point there. So yeah, we'll retool it. I'll figure out a way to make it, you know, a little bit more user friendly, as it were, a little bit more obvious. So, we'll shelve it for now and probably bring it back later on. So,
okay.
All right. But that was last week, and last week's theme again, places in Saskatchewan of current and former capitals that are originally from Saskatchewan, that lovely Canadian province that looks like a parallelogram. You're not the only one that can assign homework.
Yeah, but I'm more fun when I do it.
I'll bet you are.
Yeah.
All right. So, yes, it was, as we hinted earlier, an up and down week, a good share of ups and unfortunately a share of downs as well for our Washington Capitals this past week. We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of that. But before we do, I just want to address a concern I have, and I'm trying to be as lighthearted as I can about it, but I am genuinely concerned about it. And that's, once again, the general behavior of a lot of our fans. I'm seeing a lot of fellow Facebook groups that were exhibiting a lot of negative behavior. I'll name a few. The True Caps Fans Zone, the True Caps Fans, the Washington Capitals fans group, hosted by Sonia Kendall. I don't want to single out any group. It was in a lot of places. And while I'm at it, I want to throw a shout out to the latest one to accept our podcast posting. That's Mike Stepp's Caps Fans group. Hello out there to all in that group. Thanks for listening. And he even said, hey, look, you know, I'm proud of our group for not being negative. I'm seeing, and he was the one to point it out. He gave me the idea, to be honest, because he saw it and he's like, look, I'm going all over to these Facebook posts, other groups, and there's a lot of negativity, and it's just too early in the season for that. And I'm proud of our guys for not having all of that, not putting up with it. And, you know, he's got a point. Look, it's safe to say that Caps fans are among the most passionate, if not the most passionate fans of hockey that are out there. And you can kind of understand that the sport of ice hockey arouses that kind of feeling, especially if you follow the team for a long, long time and or you love the team as much as Anna and I do and others. So I think you can all understand that when some of us see something that, you know, isn't quite good, don't see the team performing as well as they should, et cetera, et cetera, you know, we're going to get a little peeved. We're going to say some things that probably a lot of things don't like, but most of us, I would say, mean it in a way, or try to mean it in a way that is constructive to the team. Now, hey, this guy isn't playing good. He ought to be doing this, blah, blah, blah. And so that's one group. And there's another group, though, that is finger pointing and wagging and saying, well, you shouldn't be saying these things at all. Shame on you for having a negative opinion. And to both of these groups, well, let me just say, first of all, if you're listening to this show, hopefully you fall in the extreme middle, because you're the smart ones. You're not taking either one of those extremes. There are those two camps, and I just want to say to both of them, lighten up, Francis. Come on. It is too early in the season for this shit. Come on, guys. Look, two things mainly, all right? Do not begrudge the Caps fan for complaining about the team, okay? A lot of us, as I said, have been in this thing a long, long time, been through a lot of heartbreak. We know the telltale signs. Don't deny us our opportunity to say, hey, this is not good. This can be better, you know, but, and you on the other side, though, if you're going to complain, make it constructive. Try to stick to facts or stats or something like that. Something based on, you know, something factual or a keen observation that you've made. Okay. You can say, for example, Stevenson played like crap. Holtby should have had that save. Something like that. But don't say stupid stuff like, Holtby needs to be traded right now. We need to fire Reardon. We need to get rid of the whole coaching staff. We need to get rid of this guy and that guy. Don't say stuff like that. Two weeks into the season? I mean, come on. That's like taking maybe a small fingerful of pie, key lime pie, and immediately declaring it bad.
Well, it's bad.
I just remembered you don't like key lime pie.
The worst. But no, I get where you're coming from.
okay, bad example, but you
know
what I'm
a terrible saying. Example, but no, I get it. I mean, my whole thing is I feel like DC sports fans are in like a category all on their own. And I'll never say they're, you know, bandwagon fans, although there's some. But these are the same group of people that were talking crap about the Nationals and how terrible they were and why did we give up Bryce Harper, and then all of a sudden, look, we're, you know, possibly World Series bound, and now everyone's a fan. You know, it's that kind of stuff that it's like, oh my God. So we're what, 8 games in and have another 74 games to go, and that what I've always called them, those couch coaches, the ones who just want to take it to a level it just doesn't need to go to. It's like, come on, you know, you got to have some faith in the coaching staff. You have to have some faith in the players more than anything, that, you know, that they're going to go out there, they're going to perform, they know what they need to do. And when you're not playing 100% or given 100%, or you're getting, you know, stupid penalties or whatever it is, then you know what? All right, bench your ass and, you know, bring up the next one. But the people who, like, it's one thing to say you're frustrated, although I can't say that I am, it's so early in the season. But when we start to get nasty and people are just being jerks, you're not truly a fan because you're not looking for any positive in the situation.
Exactly.
And that's, and so I get what you're saying. It's, you know, we can all be frustrated and we could have a terrible season, but in the end, the fans are the ones who are like, don't care, you know, ride or die. This is my team. I'm rocking the red till the end. And those are the people I'd rather hear from rather than these, you know, like, hey, I'm going to post this and then I'm going to leave your group and I'm going to go to another group and I'm going to post this and I'm going to, you know, kind of be a dick about things. And it's, you like, know, oh, whatever.
That we don't need at all.
No.
And so my message to everybody is,
don't be a dick.
Keep your cool, keep your wits about you. Look, trust me. I was very upset at some of the results that occurred, in these last few games. You can trust me on that. And a lot of words that I ought not be saying in front of young children came out of my mouth. But that's when you back up, you take time to evaluate the situation, and you just move on from there. And I'm glad you mentioned the Nats. I want to mention them, even though we are purely a hockey show. But I want to mention them. Congratulations on them for having so far the best postseason they've ever had. And Also, I was getting there. And yeah. Also, congratulations to the Washington Knicks. And suffice it to say, they got it Della done.
Oh, yeah. She is a badass. Ugh. Yeah.
I forget what the stat was, but I saw something at the end of the end of their season that she averaged like something like this was up there with regular NBA or she something like 50 points or 50 something that was right up there with the top stars.
She's fantastic.
So some of the legit NBA stars were like, yeah, man, this is a world-class talent.
Yeah. And
you better believe it. She is.
It was. Okay. And you know what? Just, again, it's just one of those moments for the Capitals to bring the Stanley Cup here for the first time in forever, and the Mystics bringing it for the first time, and God, if the Nets and the World Series. It would be fantastic. And that's when you see that, you know, the true fans that will come out and say, I've been watching this team for 44 years, been watching this team. I think the Mystics have been around since 96. You know, it's like, that is fantastic stuff. And so when I see these negative people, I often on the Facebook pages or on Twitter, I oftentimes think that they're just kind of sitting back wanting to, you know, kind of poke the bear. They're kind of looking for a reaction. They're just being a dick. And it's like,
it's noise.
It is. And it's like, you know, you either choose to respond or you don't, but it's not worth, you know, letting them sit back and laugh at, you know, how much we're getting hyped up only 8 or 9 games and being like, oh, this person, it's like, you know what? Don't even give them the time of day. It's not worth it. No.
Not worth it at all. So congratulations once again to a couple of other franchises in the area. Way to be. And thanks for giving DC fans some more reason to cheer.
Yeah.
But back to our team.
Yes.
The team we cover on the show. Speaking of other fans and fan events, I understand you mentioned this a little bit ago when we started. You had a to-do earlier today.
I did. It was a big bucket list moment for me. Last year, I had my Tommy photo op, which was amazing, and my Kempney photo op, which looked like we were in a hair commercial together, which was also amazing, and DSP, where he is just cool as shit, and love that guy. And then my number 13, where I think I was like, I felt like we were going on our first date, both nervous. But today I had an opportunity to have a picture with Ovechkin. And it was surreal. Nice. I will say that it was kind of amusing, I guess. Like I basically stood in line for 3 hours. Luckily, one of our listeners who I became friends with in line last year, Aubrey, he was up here from, oh God, his drive is like 4 hours. It's just crazy. So we were able to kind of amuse ourselves, you know, talking and whatever, but
was it outside or inside?
It was inside. It was at the Dulles Expo. And they do, yeah, these fantastic sports, like, oh my God, I had total sports nerd moment because, Randy Johnson walked by. Okay. So here's your picture. He's like 7 feet tall. He looks exactly the same. I was like, oh my God, there he is. And then a huge, huge, huge line for Charlie Sheen, which was kind
wait,
of...
Wait. Randy Johnson and Charlie Sheen were also at this thing?
Oh, yeah. And then they had a Sandlot photo opt. And oh my God, there were so many people there. I mean, it was really quite kind of crazy where I had to like take a little Dell tape to be like, wait, hold on. But I will say that there were 3 players, possibly five, but three of the players for the 1980 U.S. gold men's hockey team.
Oh, yeah. I saw, and I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so Christian Levesque was there.
Uh-huh, yep.
I will tell you.
All those pictures.
Excited like a kid in a candy store. It was amazing. Every time somebody walked by, he'd be like, oh, and like say their name. I will say that his wife, Rox, were both Tommy fans, but she just kind of took it in like, who is this person and why? Why do we care? And I'm like, that's what my husband's at home. Because he's like, why do I care? I met Tony Alcott. Sweet cool. as could be. He was so pumped to be there. He had two pucks signed by the players from the 1980 Olympians. Diane Doyle was in line with me. She was super pumped about that. And she's always, you know, been an Ovechkin fan. So she had things signed. And then our beloved Sonia Kendall and her husband. They were yep. behind me. So it was
Very cool. Just,
I
know I already talked about this, but I met them at the first preseason game.
Yes.
Yeah. Great people.
Fantastic. So it was a humbling moment to meet the great eight. I will say, even though he was an hour late, I was annoyed for the people who were waiting for Charlie Sheen because it pushed all of our time back. And I am like, seriously, Charlie Sheen, how rude. And then they're telling me that, you know, Ovechkin hasn't come. He's not even in the building. He's not even close. And I couldn't say the same. I was like, well, I'll wait forever. I'll just sit here and wait until he decides to, I don't know, get up from his nap. And like, he flew in from Dallas last night, you know, but it was good. It was good. It was, I'm not a fan of the picture I took with him, but I don't care. Grade eight, goat. Fantastic. It was a perfect way for me to end pseudo end my weekend. And we got totally off topic and I apologize for that.
No, that's not, it's not off topic at all. You know, we said kind of hinted last week, you were going to be at a special major event and, here it is. And it's a good thing it was indoors. Of course, you had, I bet, your Tommy Wilson sock keep you warm or help you.
You know what? I didn't, which I know. I thought I was going to, and because it was so cold. Yes, I wore them all weekend. But I stepped outside and I said, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to put on my blue Capitals sweatshirt that I got last year and my shorts. And my flip-flops, because it's finally feeling like fall. And I'm so glad that I did, although my legs hurt like hell for standing for 3 hours. But you know what? It was worth it. Tommy socks. I love them.
I'll bet you do.
Yeah. Commando and the Tommy socks. That may be my new thing.
Wasn't going to go there, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I will. So,
of course you will. all right. So let's get to the actual hockey portion. Mm-hmm. So as it is still oily in the season, we won't bury ourselves in stats too much, but we will go over the results. And boy, this thing gets slower and slower every year. I think I need to reinstall a stupid app. So much better when it's just the Caps and not the NHL sticking its paws all. Okay, so we started. All right, we started with last Tuesday, with a home game against the Dallas Stars, and that resulted in an overtime loss, 4-3, and then. Probably the worst game of the bunch last Thursday in Smackville against the Predators. Mm-hmm. So I was watching this game and it was like 4-1, I think.
Right.
And it was late in the second period and I was like, all right, you know what? I'm tired. I'm going to bed. looks like this team has it in hand. I wake up, I check the score. Yeah, no, that's when I did my cursing act that would have, you know, made the saltiest sailor blush.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden, because the game before the Dallas game, they had also lost in overtime Saturday night to Carolina in overtime. So three straight losses, even though in a possible 6 points, they got two of them, which is better than nothing.
Right.
But that's what started all the negativity and all the crap that I mentioned earlier. And trust me, I wasn't happy about it either, but you know, a sane person, chills out and finds the reasons why things start to go wrong and tries to make them right.
Mm-hmm.
So taking a quick glance at those two games anyway. So Evgeny Kuznetsov in his return opened the scoring. And then they pretty much trade goals after that. And Sagan gets the game winner. They almost lost, actually, if not for Nick Backstrom tying it up with 31 seconds left in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So here are vitals. 32 shots for the good guys, 26 for Dallas. Face-off wins face. Most of the major stat categories, the Caps look pretty good. They came out on the good end. Except for the power play and some of the possession stats,
right,
which might have been what really told the story. But you know, not that horrible a game, just the second loss. Okay, and then you jump over to Nashville to that game. Okay, so the third period. So again, they come out to a lead, and the third period again is what dooms them. So let's see, Nashville, 1 minute, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. So 1, 2, 3, 4 straight goals in a span of five straight goals in a span of 9.5 minutes.
Not good.
No, not good. Not good. Oh, okay. So one of those five was Oshie's, of course, that put them up by 5-4, but then the Preds kept coming back. And I got to tell you this. And so this is, and look, a lot of the negativity, as I said, was focused on maybe a select few, and Braden Holtby was kind of caught up in that, because mm-hmm. as we all saw last night, Ilya Samsonov.
We're just going to call him Sammy.
Well, that sounds, well, maybe so, Damn. Because that kind of sounds like a Russian fancy entertainment system. Samsonov.
Yeah, it's just.
No, yes.
No, it doesn't. But
no,
I but I think that just Sammy, I'm okay with. I think Aubrey was telling me today, because we were talking about this in line, that I think Oshie called him Sammy in an interview. And it's like, you know what? Can't we just go with that? Because the way it almost becomes like theatrical, the way everyone says it. It's like, you know, we can say Wilson, Oshie, you know, Backstrom and all these names. And we get to his and it's like, you have to have this dramatic pause. The Sam. So not. And it's like, God, if we do that every single time, it gets old. So Sammy, Sam, whatever you want to call him. But yes, go on.
So is that what she said?
Yes, that's what she said.
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
I know. Mine are always still funnier, but that's okay. I'll give it to you.
You say so.
No, give it to you. That's what she
okay.
said. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm.
But the right. So moving on. Sammy won his game last night, his second in two starts. So that's getting a lot of people thinking, well, we should get rid of Holtby now. No, come on.
Yep.
All you've got to do, you of those out there that know how to work this app better than I do. All you got to do is look at the replays of some of these goals. Particularly the one scored by Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, folks. I said the F word. That's making my producer sick.
Yeah.
As Joe, I think it was either Joe or Locker. No, it was Rob Carlin who said Forsberg is the F word.
Yeah.
And rightly so.
Yeah.
But all you've got to do is see the replays of both of those two goals, and I think you will see the key to why the Caps did not come out the winner. They had, pardon me, they hung Holtby out to dry.
Yep.
They just, where was the defense? There wasn't any. It left. It grew wings. It died. I don't know, but.
Well, there's definitely a different presence in Nashville versus the game last night in the Big D, which I still kind of snicker at, but that's what they call it, with Sammy, you know, and it's a little bit confusing of, you know, you should be giving your goalie 100% as the goalie is giving the team 100%, but if you're, you know, leaving them kind of out to dry, it's frustrating, so frustrating. And then it's so easy for people to say, oh, trade him. It's time to, you know, Holtby's done in June, or, you know, Holtby's done this year. Like, it's just.
Well, last week. Okay. So last week you said you were not seeing Holtby at his best.
True.
So you saw all of the games, right? And since everybody's quickly making that comparison, I mean, what do you think?
Honestly, it's funny that you say this, because when Christian Levesque and I saw each other today, we briefly had a moment to just kind of, you know, have a little nerd Caps moment talk in line. And both of us agree that the hype of Sammy from, whether it be the fans, the commentators, the media, the social media, has really, unfortunately, gotten into Holtby's head. And what we know from before is that when he is in a negative place, you know, whether it's hearing negative thoughts and he can't get out of it, it's consumed him. And I truly feel like, okay, you know, this is something that is unfortunate, because we're, you know, here he is, our top goalie, and everybody loves the guy. And then all of a sudden it's, you know, we hear this stuff and you automatically want to bring up the 22-year-old who doesn't quite have the experience but has a skill. You know, he's kind of losing the respect of the fans, and that's disappointing, but that's going to get in your head, unfortunately. And he is one of those players. So I think it is very much, you know, hopefully, like I said, I thought he gave about 75%. I'm sure there's a ton of people that disagree with me, because, you know, if you do look at it, you know, like where was our defensive lineman? But still, if you have that mental block, it is really debilitating. So I think that at this point, the fans, regardless of what you think, you have to rally behind the team and the players 100% and the coaches. That's what I think. I just think he's in a bad headspace right now because of the negativity.
So you think because of that, he might be holding back? Maybe not on purpose, I mean, but...
Yes.
Because he's distracted by... potentially by the pressure of living up to his past, and also the fact that this is a contract year.
Exactly. Well, of course. I mean, like, you have here it comes, you know, whatever, May, June, you know, whenever the contract is. And it's like, okay, well, we love him. The whole city loves him when he's Holt Beast. And then all of a sudden when he's just, you know, having an off game, people are ready to toss him aside. And you have Sammy coming in playing, you know, two games or three games, kicking ass, by the way, but it is only, you know, two games or three game, you know, whatever. I feel like it's just two games. And yes, but we still have 80 freaking games to go. And so, you know, that's where Holpe's maturity and his patience and his skill level is going to kind of humble, you know, that the Samsonovs and say, hey, listen, you may be a badass now, but you have to pace yourself. And no, you're not going to win every game. And yes, you have to rely on this and skill, but you also have to have faith in your, you know, defensive men. And I think that we have a hard time right now because it's not a consistent lineup every week. You know, we don't know what's going on with Kempney. When he comes back, are things going to change 100%? I don't know. I truly, you know, I'm kind of at a loss. I was not thrilled with Siegs this last week. You know, certain players, I'm like, okay, they're doing good and they're doing, but that's to be expected. So I think we just, you know, people just need to ride out that Holpe is our number one guy. He's going to do the best he can. But that negative headspace is because we're putting so much on a 22-year-old who's brand new, and that's just not the way to go.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm really, really glad you brought up some of those points, because some of it has to be put on the defense. And yeah, you mentioned Kempney being out of the lineup, and yeah, it does create a bad look. Not a bad look, but a different look. Look, the goalie has to be able to rely on and communicate all three sets of defense partners, has to know what their tendencies are, has to be familiar with them, has to be able to trust them. And I don't know. The fact that there's, you know, some guys in there he hasn't worked with as much, you know, might, it quite possibly could be throwing things off a little bit.
Right.
And you will never hear him put it on anybody else, though. And that's because he's an ultimate team guy. And I think that's why he's worthy of, you know, not everybody not bailing on him. And also, look, I want to throw this out there. There's probably one of my favorite podcasts in general, okay, is the Puck Podcast. I don't know if anybody out there has ever heard of it, but I highly recommend it if you want an all 31 NHL team coverage, okay? But they gave their preview of the Metropolitan Division, and they, of course, had the Caps winning it. And one of the cornerstones of reasoning for that is because, and I quote, Braden Holtby is by far the most reliable goaltender of all 8 teams in the Metropolitan Division.
Wow.
And that says a lot.
Yeah, that's
high praise.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say a lot about his competition, but it does also say a lot about him. And that's because he's earned it. And just like you said just now, Anna, Samsonov, sorry if I butchered that. I give up. Sammy has not had the exposure of playing against highly skilled men.
Right.
Braden Holtby, on the other hand, has been doing this for years in many different high-pressure, high-value game situations.
Right.
That is the difference.
And that's why, you know, whether you're looking at the goalies or you're looking at the top line or regardless, you have vet players there for a reason, because they're going to be able to calm the nerves, calm that, you know, kind of impulsivity that the newbies may have coming into any game, and say, okay, listen, you know, yes, you want to go out there and yes, you want to, you know, shoot goals and do, you know, be crazy. One, you have to play smart hockey, but you also have to remember that you're going to play 60 minutes of hockey, which unfortunately isn't, you know, really what we saw the first two games. We saw it last night in the Big D. Which maybe another favorite stadium. But you know, it's that kind of stuff where you have to say, all right, take it down, be mature about it, you know, roll with it. Like, hey, we lost, but let's, you know, today's a new game versus the new young guys that come in. And it's like, yes, obviously you're here because you earned it skill wise and speed wise, but you have to remember that you're a team player. You have to remember what your job is on the ice, and you can't make stupid plays and you can't be impulsive, and you got to do the 60 minutes. So, yeah, you know, it's a perfect balance. So for Holpe and Sammy to be, you know, one game and one the next, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Look, I stand by what I said last week in that I don't blame Holtby, at least not as much as others would. And I am more apt to, like you said, the players, the rest of the team not giving a 60-minute effort. And sorry, I'm going to beat this drum until he starts improving. And men may, you know, maybe he is starting to improve, but I also put some of it on Reardon and the coaching staff, because again, it's their job to put the team in the best position to win. And sometimes you just got to tell them to slow things down and notice that if you notice certain trends, you have to adjust. And I'm just not seeing it. Or if I am, I'm not seeing enough of it.
But I think, you know, again, early in the season, and I agree with you, it was very frustrating to see that first Dallas game at home for us. And then, of course, the Preds, I'm like, oh, these fucking fans. But I thought, you know, if that's how the fans left thinking, where was the 60 minutes? Where was the support of the goalie? Where was the, you know, where was the chemistry? Where was the consistency? I thought if that's what needed to come from the coaches to the players, I thought it was relayed during that Dallas game in the Big D last night, because they looked good. They looked damn good. And I'm not going to say it's because Sammy was in between the pipes. I'm just going to I think that they finally got it.
They 1,000 times better. And yes, maybe they did figure it out as a team, or maybe the coaching staff finally did play off the message of, hey, you guys, if you want to win, you need to start knuckling down in the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Agreed. And not play a 40-minute game, not play a 90-foot game, but a 200-foot game and a 60-minute game. And okay, that all added up. Now, I just want to say one last thing about the goalie comparison. It comes down to simple observation. Just watch these two guys play. And I think a lot of folks are apt to get on Holtby because he may give off the impression that he's not doing much. While if you see Samsonov, he's out in front of the crease. He's 5-10 feet out in front. He's side to side. He's flailing his stick in his arms, and he's all kinds of active. And he's like, maybe some of the kids in your class, Anna. I don't know.
Impulsive.
Before lunch. I don't know. Right. Stuff like that. But it's two different styles.
It is.
And I think fans are seeing this new kid and saying, wow, now I'm getting a lot more for my money. He's giving me some action here, while Holtby kind of stands and, you know, he's gives methodical. It. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's methodical. He plays his angles. He's making sure he's in the right place. Yes, he's quick and athletic when he has to be, but, you know, he's never been ridiculously and overtly flashy or anything like that.
No. And that's what I think there's, you know, his Zen moment. He needs to kind of, you know, get into his zone and nobody in the very, you know, little affect, and, you know, whether they score or they don't score, he, you know, still takes the helmet off, still, you know, does the water thing. And that's his thing. And Sammy, I think, is, yeah, like you said, impressing people simply because, you know, he is moving. He's this kind of action, you know, action impulsivity kind of guy. He's like kind of all over the place. But it doesn't make one better than the other. You know, it's one's more methodical, thinking about the game and really studying, you know, puck movement. And the other one is just you know, I'm going to be here, I'm going to be here, I'm going to be here, I'm going to be here. But his skill level, you know, shows that, you know, like that's what works for him. And he's proven to be, okay, can he do this? Is there going to be a time when we, you know, hit game 28 or game 38 that all of a sudden Sammy's not going to be the talk of the town, possibly? So.
Right. We'll exactly. See. And you have to wonder, is that playing style going to wear on him?
Exactly. Where
if he is more active and does end up getting a lot of starts, you know, is that going to wear him down a bit? And that's where the maturity factor comes in. We have a guy who's handled this for quite a while, knows what to expect, knows how to handle what's thrown at him, versus a guy who's, you know, this is his first year in the bigs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll see. You know, everybody's impressed by Holtby. Yeah, I mean, sorry, Samsonov right now. And yes, the numbers bear that out. But
two games.
Exactly. Two games. You know, small sample size, tiny, tiny slice of the pie. You know, calm your hormones, people. Okay. Yes, it's great that he's doing as well as he is doing. All right, but very tiny sample size, long, long season. Okay?
Okay.
All in perspective.
Yes.
So I think, this is a good place to stop it for now. So okay. We're going to hold it here. Hold it here. Hold it here.
All right.
You knew I'd work that in some way.
Apparently, yes.
Anna, did you have anything else you want to get out there? Any future events?
No. I was hoping to go to the game tomorrow night against the Avalanche. It's not going to happen, but that's okay. It's no worries. I'll watch it from home. I'm all good. I think we had a great show. I appreciate meeting all the people today. Face-to-face, it's always great to put a name and a face together. So that was awesome. And Ovechkin, yeah, bucket list marked off for sure.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. Thank you, Captain. And thank you, Captain, as well. The Babe Lab, that is the official dog, lest I forget. Real quick, we're going to go over a preview of the next several games. Tomorrow evening, back at Cap One, as Anna mentioned already, it'll be the Colorado Avalanche in Andrei Burakovsky's return to his original NHL home. That's a 5 o'clock puck drop. That's probably because it's the holiday.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Because the Nats are playing at home.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, yes. Okay, so that's a night game then that they're playing?
I think probably a 7 o'clock game, yeah.
Okay, all right. So, hey, that'll be cool. So, finish the hockey and hop on over to Nats Park and catch that game. Hopefully they'll wrap it up or move towards wrapping it up. That series. Colorado on Columbus Day. That's Monday. Okay, so it's a Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule for this week. All a homestand. Mm-hmm. Wednesday the 16th, 7 o'clock puck drop. It's the Maple Leafs, featuring John Tavares and Mitch Marner. Mm-hmm. First action from them. And then Friday, that's the New York Rangers. Also a 7 o'clock puck drop. Artemi Panarin, the new addition. And Capo Caco as well. Going to be good to see them. It'll be a nice test for them. Rangers, I think, getting off to a pretty hot start, so I hear. So that's going to be a heck of a game, I think.
Could be.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know yet. I'm kind of on the Rangers, but we'll see.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So for Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that an octopus will always beat a shark in a fight. You know why? Because it's well armed. Hallelujah, and let's go, Caps.
Oh. Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.